Welcome to Survivor Winners at War podcast. Drop your buffs, people. It's time to talk. My name is Brianna, and I am here with my tribe mate, Jen. Hello, Jen. How are you?
Hello, Brianna. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well, despite everything in the news, because, and of course, it's all about me, I got the sound straightened out on the podcast.
And yay!
Yeah, big time yay. And I just want to tell everybody what happened so you can properly appreciate what a dummy I am. this one's pretty rich, okay? This is really rich. Now, mind you, I'm the technical brains of this operation, so this shows you where we're at. So I have this professional podcast mic. I know it's hard to believe I've been on a professional mic this whole time. And this mic is called a Blue Yeti. And you can tell that it's Blue Yeti because it has a logo on the front that says Blue Yeti. Well, I say front. You've seen a microphone, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're cylindrical. So
correct.
You wouldn't think that there would be a front and a back. And I'm not talking about a top and sides. I mean, you're supposed to talk into the mic on the side of the mic, and the side you're supposed to talk into is the one that says Blue Yeti on it.
Okay. And you've been talking into the other side, I take it?
Well, here's the deal. I have a mic stand. I have like a boom that hangs the mic down in front of my face. So you wouldn't think that it mattered which way it was rotated. Like, who knew? The way I had it rotated is where I can grab the mute button easily if I have to cough or something. So, like, I would grab it by holding the mic and putting on my finger on it and back. So, it'd be, okay. So, I've been doing this podcasting thing now since October 3rd, 2019. And every single podcast, my mic has been backwards. Yes. Right. You never believed I finished high school, let alone had two master's degrees. So there you go. But that's what happens when you don't give up. Just like, who was it in the last challenge? Was it Ben that said, never give up?
Ben. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to, by the way, I'm going to tell this story on every podcast this week because I have been like mortified this entire time. So, you know, I do care. Oh, here's what happened. Here's how I finally figured it out. I got so frustrated that I Googled, why does my Blue Yeti mic sound like shit? I'm not kidding. That was my search term. And that was when I found this. Thank God for Google. It's the little things. So the little things include Survivor. And I can't wait
to
talk about
it. Not the little thing in our world now.
I know. In a world with so much panic going on, it seems like this is the right thing to hold on to.
Exactly. We're on our own island,
exactly.
You know, to avoid the panic.
Exactly. So do you want to kick us off, Jen, now that I've told my long saga about the mic?
Okay. Well, the show opened at the call, since they're the ones who went to tribal last week. And Nick was relieved. He was about Tyson being gone.
Right.
He commented that the fire token that he received changed his opinion about whether things could have been different with Tyson, and that maybe just possibly, you know, Tyson respected his game plan. I tried to get through it without laughing. I really did. I can't.
Yeah, Nick.
I can't with him. Oh, my goodness.
Nick does no favors for the stereotypes of the South. He just doesn't.
Yeah. He doesn't. He's such a Jethro.
Yeah, and disclaimer, I don't believe in the stereotypes. I know.
No, I don't either.
I'm
but
a big fan
there
of the
are
South.
Those people. Being in the country myself, there are Jethros aplenty, to be fair.
Yeah, he comes across as a real hayseed, doesn't he?
He does.
Anyway, I thought that was highly amusing. And I think the real truth was that Tyson gave it to him because of the hero worship.
Yeah.
I think he found
it funny. Or maybe if Tyson thought that he could get back in, you know, him giving it to him did kind of, I always think Tyson is thinking anyway. So maybe it's a form of manipulation in case he got back in the game.
Yeah, maybe.
That he wouldn't be completely ostracized, but.
Well, and also maybe he's trying to make Nick feel guilty a little bit. Like, what if he's trying? Yeah, you know, Tyson's nefarious AF. But he's so hot. I just don't care.
All right. Here's where we part ways.
Just one way that we part ways.
One of the million. Aww. But then we went from something that made us laugh to actually something very touching. And you discussing Jonathan Penner's wife, Stacy, and her struggle with ALS. So how we were talking last week about him being very non-emotional, we did get to see his emotional side, and he's really torn up. You know, he got close to Jonathan after they played together, and it's been very hard for him to watch this battle because apparently she's got no motor control except for her eyes, I think is what he said. And it was just a really crushing and moving moment. But again, it's nice to see like this platform used for awareness for other things. You know, it's not all about the game. The game is fun, but they are, you know, here and there trying to work in some really positive messages and just awareness. So,
yeah, I want to acknowledge that and also say I remember very well when she came on the show to see Jonathan during the family and friends, and it was like, or the loved ones visit, and it was so touching, and she seemed like the coolest chick, and I was actually thinking at that point, like, what is she doing with him? Because he came across
he did come
as such
off
a dick.
Kind of nerdy on his season, but
you
know, the
jerk.
Way she, the way she held his face in her hands, it was just very sweet.
And I know. And seeing the commercial of her in the wheelchair and everything was just, oh, God. Yeah, it was a lot. It was definitely a lot. And, okay.
So after they open it to call, everybody gets together and drops their buffs. And I was thinking, did you know that it was going to be three tribes that they divided into?
No.
Okay. Because I was thinking they were just going to be drawing and they'd be two tribes again.
Right.
I was actually pretty excited when it wound up being three because it evened everything out straight across the board. So, I mean, you had more players from one tribe than another, but it went 5-5-5, I think.
It did. Yeah, I was, that was sort of a nerve-wracking moment. And also, like, have people draw, right? But do you think there's any chance that that is not actually, they're not?
Well, they didn't, I didn't think they had them draw. I thought they handed.
That's what it looked
like.
They made it look like they were choosing a little buff bundle from a tray, ostensibly, so it would be random. But I felt like it wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing came out. Did you have any hopes or predictions that you were hoping people would be together? Who did you hope was together?
I wanted to see Sandra and Rob together, man.
Did you?
Totally. I wanted to see, like, the showdown.
That would have been a good one.
So last season when they were on the Island of the Idols together, that, you know, it's interesting because their whole thing was they were working together to coach the players. So on one hand, I was thinking, what would it be like if they got together? But of course, if they got on the same tribe, I thought, man, the nefariousness would come to, you know, just new heights. So I don't know.
Would have been nice to see a king versus queen moment there, you know, at a tribal council. I agree with you. That would have been cool.
The Godfather versus the queen, for sure.
Right. Back to the new tribes.
Yeah.
We have the new Sele is Michelle, who was from the old Sele.
Right.
Wendell, who was from Dakal, Parvati, who is from Sele, Nick from DeKalb, and Yul from DeKalb.
Right.
So, honestly, this is the team I'm pulling for right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like Parvati, I like Michelle, and I like Yul. So this is who hoping goes okay. far in this.
Okay.
Okay, the new DeKalb is Sandra, who is from the old DeKalb, and Tony and Kim from the old DeKalb. And then we've got Jeremy and Denise that were on Sele. And then the new tribe is Green Buffs, and that's Yara, and that's Rob, Adam, and Ben were all from Sele, and Sarah and Sophie from DeKalb.
Yeah, I don't think I can root for that team anyway, not just because they voted Rob off later, which I'm skipping ahead, but also just
because, skipping like, ahead.
I know.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. The
whole Hopefully they're not like listening to this podcast if they haven't seen the episode. But I feel like Adam and Ben and Sophie are so unlikable to me that like I just want them to lose.
Right, yeah. I'm not a fan. And as soon as I saw the tribe, I knew that the Sword of Damocles was hanging over Rob's head if they lost. I with his relationship with Adam and Ben, I knew that they were going to team up with Sarah and Sophie. And I just saw it coming. So.
Well, and wouldn't they be stupid if they didn't?
That's true. That's
so, I mean, I knew that, like, it seemed like he would have to win immunity, which he's not doing that great a job with those challenges.
He really doesn't seem to be, no.
And this episode, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on this episode, he looked so sad and tired.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. And, you know, the one bonus of this all is he's getting ready to go to Edge of Extinction, and he gets to be with his wife, so. Hopefully they can combine forces and figure out a way off of there.
That's a terrible idea. You know, like, honestly, that's like the worst thing. Have your partner there. Like, I mean, I just mean like it seems dangerous.
But don't you think she would do whatever and sacrifice to get him back in knowing that he's the better player? Or do you think that she wants to beat him that badly that...
I don't know. I'm thinking about better player. So hard to say on this show, right? I just think alliances are dangerous. We talked about this before. At first, it seemed like alliances could be like an unfair advantage. Now I think they're an unfair disadvantage, you know?
Yeah. And when you're married to the person, though, I think it's kind of stupid for anybody to think that you aren't aligned. So why not just be aligned? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like, well, if there's any indication 2 seasons ago about Edge of Extinction, one thing that we on that season was that only one person could come back from Edge of Extinction.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's hard to say what would happen with that.
Right. Or John what quoted happen. A theory. Remember when they used to do the auctions?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still do them. He was floating the theory that maybe they would do an auction type bidding. With fire tokens get a shot back.
That could be too. You never know. That would be a way of ticking, like the challenges on Edge of Extinction would count, right? More long term.
Right. I'm going to have to go rewatch that season so I get a better idea and I'll fill you back in.
Yeah. Or if I wasn't so lazy, I would research it.
So back at the new tribes now, they start off at the new DeKalb, and Kim, we did find out that Sophie gave her back the other half of her immunity idol. Mm-hmm. So Kim does have an immunity idol.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately realized that she's the swing vote and that she could take advantage of that by hooking up with Jeremy and Denise, since she hadn't been really tight with Sandra and Tony.
Right.
And I think... I saw her talking with Denise, and Denise thought they had a good vibe. Mm-hmm. Denise says that about everybody, though. So I don't even know what to think with Denise, you know?
That was my feeling, too. It's like, but also, it's like, you shouldn't believe anything anybody tells you on Survivor.
That's
you
true.
Shouldn't. Like, that is what you would want everyone to think, right?
Right.
Well, I would. Definitely.
And then we go on to, Tony was prattling on about lions and hyenas. And since you're a Tony fan, does he only speak in metaphors? Because everything seems to be a metaphor or analogy or something. He's driving me nuts.
He is a total goofball, and he really does talk way too much.
I don't know if he's looking for like some quotable soundbite to come out of his mouth, or I don't know what it is.
He wants
like
to be a meme
slogan. Yeah. He does. He wants to be memeable. You're right.
He's just like one of those East Coast guys. I don't. You know who he reminds me of? Joe Gorga on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because Joe Gorga is kind of like that too, you know, like walks around spouting cliches. Well, you know what they say, a stitch in time saves nine, like just stupid shit, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there is.
I have never heard Joe Gorga say that.
I came up with that. I mean, that was just filling in the blanks, you know? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. You're just like that level.
Oh.
So I expect Tony to be like that too.
Okay. So on from DeKalb, they go to Selig. Yes. And Parv is trying to figure out who she can work with because she realizes she's in the minority.
Right.
And she finds out that Yul's wife, Sophie, is a super fan of hers,
right,
which made her happy. And right, she also found out that about Nick, he told her about them asking about crushes,
right,
and how she was his high school crush.
And, right, and how could he not have a crush on her with all those gums showing? No, she's super cute, but like, I just can't. Last night, I was like, how many? Like, she just all gums, that one. She is super cute.
She is really cute. And no, for just, is. Isn't her baby only like 10 months old?
Yes.
And she's so tiny.
I know. Oh, screw her.
I'm still losing baby weight. My youngest is 25.
I hear you, sister.
We also, Parv was saying how bad she felt for Michelle,
right,
having to be there with Wendell. And after watching them interact, I don't blame her. He's like horrible.
I know, it's sad because he's so cute. I love his hair.
Yeah.
And also, I was really struck last night watching Michelle that like she seemed so boring and without a personality to me until she started with the
cat and mouse of him.
Well, yeah, and just the Wendell's giving her the you up text. And then
right,
she's feeling more new season who it is.
Exactly. She was hysterical. He really was kind of aggressive with her. It was, you know, telling her not to talk to him within the first 5 minutes that he's on the island. And I'm like, makes me want more details on the breakup, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who crushed whom? And
do you think that was him being an asshole, or was that him panicking? Because I felt like that, like he was so taken aback by it that he kind of like had a reflex and said something that came out.
See, I don't know. Without knowing, you know, who broke up with the other, you know, I really don't know. It came off. Right. It felt through the TV, nasty, which made me think that she just got tired of his player nonsense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. So then on to Yara, the new tribe. And we recap that Sarah's got the steal a vote, but she said she wanted to save it and try and find a way to work with Adam and Ben, because she knows there's much more to come and really doesn't want to waste it this early.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all go on the idol hunt, and Rob is just, they asked him if he didn't find an idol on his, you know, season. And he said, yeah, but it took me 4 clues to find it. And so he was, that didn't give us much hope for him finding it. And it wound up being Sophie, and it was another 2-piece idol. And she gave half of that to Sarah. So,
yeah, I was.
Who else was she going to give it to, really?
True. I was watching him, and that was for the first moment that I realized, like, uh-oh, maybe he's out of his depth. Like, this dude's got, like, social and psychological manipulation on his side. And I think he actually has a psych degree, if memory serves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does. But so, like, and suddenly I realized, like, maybe that's all he's got is psychology and, like, manipulation. Maybe he doesn't, like, it's obvious that his challenge game is pretty below average at this point. He can't find an idol.
So it was kind of sad. John and I have been arguing a lot about, he thinks that the old school, new school thing shouldn't matter. And I think it makes a huge difference. You know, he just seems to think that, you know, having watched all of the seasons between now and then, they should know what's up, even if they hadn't played it. But I think it makes a difference, though, to experience it and learn it through that way, through action, than it does watching it on the show.
However, like, again, Rob was there coaching players with Sandra last season. So he did see that. Well, and also, look, you know, watching it on TV. But to your point, experience, you know, is different than just watching. It must be a lot different being there, you know. Anyway, so on to the challenge. Yes.
On to the challenge.
Yeah.
And no one, not even your queen, gets to sit out. So neener. I was so happy about that. She had to actually participate. They had an obstacle course. They had these boxes they had to dig up sandbags and throw them at boxes and knock them off. And then there was a puzzle at the end.
Yeah.
And Yara was blowing the doors off the whole thing. DeCall was straggling. Sele wasn't far behind Yara, but DeCall was way behind. And Sandra was really struggling. Was it a rope climb, I think, like a net climb? She was having a hard time with that. But by the time they got to the puzzle, Sophie and Adam were working on it together. And then Sele gets there and they start working on theirs, and DeCall gets there. And, you know, I was thinking it was going to be Yara, Sele with no problem. And I can't figure out if
what happened,
because they had discussed pairing up, if Sophie and Adam threw it. It just didn't seem that difficult of a puzzle.
Well, it was really weird how that happened. And then Rob is looking over at the guys who won and calling out which way to put the blocks. But if you think about it,
he was like, green on opposite sides, green on opposite sides.
Hang out.
And they weren't doing what he was saying.
But
so,
in all fairness, these are four-sided blocks. They're not two-dimensional. Like, they're not just two-sided. You know, or even rather, they're six-sided.
Yeah.
and they're not just four-sided. Apparently, my math skills are also bad. But that does make it a lot more difficult.
It does, but Sophie's no dummy.
You don't know if every
If it was dumb players, I don't know, Adam, not having watched him before. You know, I don't know how bright he is. But Sophie's not stupid. She's pretty bright. She's kind of nerd level like Yule.
Yeah, but so, Jen, I mean, it could You don't know if like every block had every color. Like, we don't know. Like, it could have been a lot more complicated than that. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. I don't think we know the answer. I think it's more complicated than it looked. That's my only point. Is it's sort of Rubik's Cube kind of, you know, it's so multidimensional. Anyway. Yes.
So by the end of it, you know, Sophie and Adam can't get it together. Sele finishes first. A call comes from behind, gets second. And now Yara is going to tribal council.
Right.
And I was extremely bummed because, again, they've made it pretty clear who's going home. And the writing was definitely on the wall.
I mean, I think, like, we're kind of skipping ahead a little bit, right? Because I feel like there was some interesting machinations going on. Because here you have Ben and Adam, and, like, I felt like they were taken hostage immediately.
Mm-hmm. You know? The well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because it's not like they didn't even have a chance to figure out exactly what they were going to do yet. and they hadn't really conferred with the women. Maybe they did before the challenge, whatever, but they didn't really have all the information, right? Or right. know what was Rob going to say. So meanwhile, he basically locks them in jail.
And no one's allowed to Sarah called fired. It a playpen. And it kind of looked like a playpen because it looked kind of sunk down, you know, like the sunken living room. Right. That's what it kind of looked like. And nobody's point, talking.
Yeah, Rob, like at this point, lost. He lost because he sits there like he's the one who's supervising and he's mm-hmm. not letting anyone leave. And that just pisses yeah. people off. Like he forgot that part of the essential nature of social manipulation is making everyone forget they're being manipulated.
Like, exactly.
He fucked up big time.
Yeah, he really did. Because yeah. I think he just succeeded in all of them just being angry that he exactly. thought that he could dictate anything.
I know he screwed up. Like he just, I think he like forgot that he is vulnerable. He got too cocky, essentially.
Yeah.
And then he I really agree. Looked sad and tired.
He did.
I'm sad. It was really sad. Yeah. I was surprised that Sarah didn't basically tell him to screw off earlier.
Right. Like, I was too. She and Sophie went off together and she was definitely upset about it. And I was surprised that she just kind of sat there and took it. Maybe she didn't want to upset the apple cart because they already had something going with Adam and Ben.
I don't know. So, I don't know.
We'll never know until the reunion.
Right. And I really can't wait to find out, but I still like the longer this goes on with all of these like amazing veteran players, the more I think Edge of Extinction, we really shouldn't think of it as getting voted off. You should think right. about it as people rallying the forces and these masterminds having even more time to figure it out. So like, do not, you know,
well, and Rob even, didn't he Insta and thank everybody for their support and say that he's not out yet?
Didn't see it. I mean, I haven't yeah. been on Instagram very much lately, so I didn't see that. But
I saw it, how the Instagram posts convert over to tweets. That's the only way I saw it.
Yeah, yeah, I see that sometimes. So it was a little complicated when they were voting and stealing the votes, or they didn't do the steal a vote, right?
No,
mm-hmm. they just went for it.
Sophie didn't use her idol.
Yeah.
Sarah didn't use her steal a vote. So yeah. something, you know, the whole thing, usually production's a lot better about keeping us in suspense. They even captured Ben mouthing Rob to Sophie. So
yes, I know.
It was kind of like, I don't know if they were trying to emotionally prepare Rob fans or they were trying to do, like, here's your sign on the wall, you know, get ready to be sad and upset. You
know? I thought they were tricking me as usual. I was waiting for Rob to turn it around. I really was. But here yeah. he went after Tyson. Nah. Yeah.
Well, he, yeah. So all the votes went to him and his torch got snuffed. And he wound up leaving his token to Parv,
yeah.
which didn't surprise me.
Yeah, so. Same. Although he could have done it to someone on another team, right? I wasn't really sure what he would do, to be honest. So
yeah. I kind of knew. He said, you know, from the beginning that she was his number one. So right. I just assumed he wasn't going to give it to anybody who had just voted him off.
Well, that's for sure. I was thinking Sandra. I'm still waiting for Rob and Sandra to get together. I don't know why.
No, didn't somebody tell him that Sandra got rid of Amber and Tyson did too? That they were
they
responsible
said it
for
was,
Amber going?
They told him it was unanimous.
And
then asked if Tyson was unanimous. So
right.
Anyway, but speaking of Tyson, before we end the episode, I just want to say that I was dying laughing watching the previews for next week when Tyson's like, I'm about to do something really sneaky and really hilarious. Cannot wait to find out.
I know. Should be fun.
I know.
Okay,
for sure.
So to wrap it up, we've got fire tokens and torch snuffs to hand out.
Right. Now we have separate ones this week, right?
We do, but I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. So Jen asked me ahead of time, what would I choose? And she gave me her proposals. And, but this week I think my feeling was that the fire token goes to Yara for voting Rob off, because they would be a bunch of big dumbasses if they didn't do it. And then my torch snuff is Yara for voting Rob off, because I think Rob. So there you go, two sides of the same coin.
Too funny.
And you?
Too funny. Well, my fire token, I would like to give it to Yule. I thought that moment and caring about somebody outside the game who was also a veteran of the game, and raising awareness for ALS, that gets my fire token.
It was beautiful. I agree.
My torch snuff goes to Wendell for being such a tool to Michelle, because I can't with aggressive men with their exes. I can't do it. Snuff Wendell.
I'm going to try to not let his cute face distract me from that fact. I'm so easily. I'm like,
close your eyes. You need to watch Love is Blind and then pretend like you're on the show.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much brings us to the end of this exciting episode of Survivor Winners at War. And can't wait for everyone to come back next week. If you enjoyed the podcast and its stellar sound quality, which I'm saying now before I even listen, I'm going to listen to the recording and it's going to be all staticky.
Oh, I hope not, because then we got to do this all over again and I have to watch Rob get voted out again.
Terrifying. Anyway, if you did enjoy the podcast and its undoubtedly stellar podcast sound quality, head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and a quick review, because it is the only way that people will find out about our stellar sound quality and amazing wit. So we hope you'll join us back here. And by the way, we're getting this to you early this week, so hopefully you'll have a lot of time to listen to it before the next episode. So have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you back here next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.